Welcome to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. Join us in person for worship each Sunday at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information about Covenant, including discipleship and mission opportunities, visit us at www.covenantpresjackson.org.
A New Testament reading is from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. The Old Testament reading is from Exodus 20, verse 7, as we continue our study of the Ten Commandments. We're on Commandment 3, Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. God spoke these words to his people 5,000 years ago. God spoke these words to his people who were gathered around Mount Sinai, worshiping him. He spoke to his people whom he had just freed from slavery in Egypt, his people whom he had just saved. And God speaks these words to you. He speaks to you, whom he has freed from slavery in Jesus Christ, whom he has saved in Jesus Christ. And even if that is not you, if you have not yet claimed Jesus as Savior and Lord, he still speaks these words to you. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, literally, this commandment reads, you shall not lift up the name of the Lord your God in vain. So what does it mean to lift up the name of God? Originally, the Hebrew word for lift up had a very specific meaning. It referred to taking an oath. In a legal context, in a trial, if the testimony of a witness was required, that witness raised their hand, lifted up their hand, and swore by God's name. But over time, this term took on a broader meaning, so that whenever someone took God's name on their lips, his name was lifted up. Whenever someone talked about God, his name was lifted up. Whenever someone worshiped God, his name was lifted up. Don't lift up God's name in vain. In other words, do not speak the name of God in vain. Do not speak the name of God in a way that is empty. Do not speak the name of God so that it is worthless. Do not speak the name of God so that it is nothing. Do not use God's name casually, flippantly, superficially. Okay. But why? And why is there such a direct punishment promised? A direct punishment from God himself. Listen to it again. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. In other words, the Lord will condemn those who speak his name in vain, hold them guilty. Well, the answer to these questions, the answer to why, and in fact, the very heart of the commandment, comes from an understanding of what is meant by God's name. There is a vast cultural difference in our understanding of a name and how God's people understood a name. The Bible sets forth a completely different notion of the significance of a name. And in order to really get this commandment, in order to really apply this commandment, in order to be faithful to this commandment, we have to understand it, which requires a shift in our thinking, a shift in our understanding. The great writer Shakespeare best summarizes our understanding of a name. In his famous play about two star-crossed lovers, Romeo and Juliet, Juliet speaks these words. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. A name is a label. Names are useful for communication, but what is important, what is significant, is what is behind a name. The sweet smell of a rose. The character of a person. In the case of Romeo and Juliet, Juliet did not care that Romeo had the name of the enemies of her family. What she cared about was the person behind the name, who he was. Well, in the Bible, names are significant. Names carry meaning. They're more than a label. In this commandment, God says, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This is Lord in all capital letters. Whenever you read in the Bible, Lord in all caps, that is the English translation of the divine name. That is the English translation of God's name, his revealed name, his self-disclosed name. Lord in all caps is the English translation of the Hebrew Yahweh. Yahweh. That is the name that God revealed to his people long before they gathered at Mount Sinai. Early in the book of Exodus, when God hears the cries of his people in slavery, he appears to Moses in a burning bush. He speaks to Moses through a burning bush. And at one point, Moses asks God for his name. In case someone asks him, who sent him? Moses wants to know God's name. Well, listen to the Lord's response. This is from Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. God reveals himself as Yahweh, Lord. His name means I am who I am. Sometimes it is translated, I will be who I will be. He is the great I am. Now these are verbs. These are verbs pointing to the reality that God is. God is being itself. Life, the life from which all other life is derived, the being from which all other being comes to be. He is eternally present. He always has been. He always will be. And he is completely independent, self-sufficient. He's not dependent on anyone or anything. He needs no help. He has no needs. He has existence in himself. He is existence. He is. His name is more than a label. It is his identity, his essence, his character. This is the biblical understanding of a name. The name of the Lord points to his sovereignty, points to his supreme power, points to his authority. The one who is eternal and timeless, the one who is life and existence itself, created all things, upholds all things, knows all things. He is Lord. And he's also Savior. The Lord redeemed his people from slavery in Egypt. The Lord liberated his people from bondage under Pharaoh. The Lord saves. And whenever God's name is used, whenever God's name is lifted up, it is not simply a label, but it refers to who he is, his being, his essence. He is Lord. And not only does the name refer to who God is, the name also represents God. Now, this is using a part of something to represent the whole. We do this in our speech from time to time. For example, if someone you know bought a new car and they say, hey, check out my new set of wheels. You know they don't simply have four wheels sitting out there for you to look at. You know they have a new car. A part of the whole is mentioned, wheels, but the whole car is intended. Well, this is what occurs in the Bible with God's name. The part, God's name, refers to the whole. The name of God represents his whole identity, his being, his essence, his character. He is Lord. He is life. He is sovereign. He is Savior. And he is the Father of Jesus Christ. He is one with Jesus Christ. They are one. The one who created all things in heaven and on earth is the one who was born of Mary. The one who has supreme authority and power was nailed to a cross. The Lord is Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Our New Testament reading sets this forth. Listen again to part of our reading from Philippians. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God has given Jesus the name that is above every name. Jesus Christ is Lord. And to this name, every knee shall bow. God's name represents his being, his sovereignty, his love, and his salvation in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The name Jesus, which means God saves, represents God's being, God's sovereignty, God's love, and salvation. Listen to a passage from the book of Acts. This is Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The Apostle Peter speaks these words, and Peter is saying, those who believe in Jesus receive forgiveness through his name. It is only in the name of Jesus that forgiveness is received. The name of Jesus, which represents Jesus, which is his identity, Savior. God's name is more than a label. It's his identity. It represents him. God does not want us to take his name in vain. God does not want us to lift up his name in vain. God does not want us to misuse his name. God does not want us to speak his name carelessly, casually, flippantly. And whether that's in conversation, as an exclamation, Whenever you say, oh my God, or Jesus Christ, or whether using it as a swear word, a curse word, a profanity, and more than likely, this is what you think of when looking at this commandment or thinking about this commandment. You think about cursing or a profanity. And then God's name is often used to damn people and objects alike to eternal suffering and punishment. Or whether it's empty religious talk, like saying just praise the Lord or thank God without actually meaning it. You're just saying it. Another area where we have to be careful about misusing God's name is whenever someone says, the Lord told me to. The Lord told me to say this to you. The Lord told me to leave my job. Well, if you ever say this, or whenever someone says this, they're saying, thus says the Lord. And in the history of the world, only a very few prophets have been privileged to say, Thus says the Lord, only a very few have been privileged to receive an authoritative word from the Lord. You may have the inward leading of God's Spirit in your life about something. You may have the inward leading of God's Spirit in your life about a job, about a relationship, about a ministry to serve in, about confronting someone with a sin, encouraging someone, but the inward leading of God's Spirit is not the same as a direct authoritative word from the Lord. All these are examples of using God's name in an empty way or lifting up his name in a way that dishonors him. And the truth is, we've all been guilty of one or more of these. But like the name, they are more than mere words because they come from the heart. Words come from inside us. Words originate inside us. Words come from our heart. Now, this is true whether they are well thought out words, carefully considered words, weighed words, or those that are just carelessly uttered. And words, just like actions, just like deeds, show the state of our hearts. Words reveal our hearts. They reveal the sinfulness of our hearts, the rebellion of our hearts, the brokenness of our hearts. Hearts in need of Jesus. Now, the fact that we would carelessly use the name of the one who created all things, the fact that we would casually use the name of the one who has all power and authority in heaven and on earth, the fact that we would dishonor the one who humbled himself, taking on flesh, becoming a servant, taking upon himself my sin and shame and your sin and shame and nailing it to a cross, freeing you, freeing me from the chains of sin forever. The fact that we would misuse the name of the one who was laid in a tomb but rose on the third day, would resurrected and is alive, freeing you and freeing me from the bonds of death forever. The fact that we would do it even after he has told us not to shows us how much more we need Jesus. We need his grace. We need his forgiveness. We need his transforming power in our hearts. And to do so, we simply call on his name. Call on the name of Jesus. God does not forbid us to use his name, only misuse his name. We are to use the name of the Lord. We are to use the name of Jesus. We are to call upon him and bless him. We are to call upon him and praise him. We are to call upon him and give him glory. We are to call upon him and ask for forgiveness. We are to worship him. We're to call upon the Lord and worship him. For he has loved us. He has saved us. Blessed be his name.
Thank you for tuning in to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi.